I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hi, Gina.
Hi, Ione. Hi, everyone. I'm Gina, the senior editor of Polyester.
And I'm Ione, the founding editor-in-chief of Polyester, and this is the Polyester Podcast, a feminist pop culture podcast dissecting the discourse on a weekly basis.
Before we start, if you're a fan of this podcast, please make sure to like, rate, and subscribe. And if you really love us, you can sign up for a podcast membership where you can join our Discord and get on our Instagram close friends for only £3 a month. Do we have any reviews, Ione?
We do. This is from xpaulax02 via Apple Podcasts in Germany. 5 stars, love her, and then 5 stars. I listened to a podcast where they recommend other podcasts. They were absolutely right. This is a great podcast. I really enjoy the pod. Also nice that I have so many episodes to catch up on. I would love to know what that other podcast is.
Yeah, who is it? Who's out there recommending us?
I would love to know.
Without my knowledge.
What are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about a label that I often get attributed, which is actually nice this week. The People's Princess.
Who has called you that?
Mav.
For fuck's sake.
Lewis Vaughn, probably.
We're not talking about the People's Princess as in Diana. We're talking about the popularized term of the People's Princess in recent times and how the People's Princess has overshadowed the It Girl in terms of being the thing everyone is aspiring to, the girl du jour.
Yeah, and nobody is an It Girl anymore.
Everyone's a people, not everyone, but
it's harder to be a People's Princess, I think, than an It Girl.
Okay, well, we'll get into it. What?
Okay. Moving on.
We can't just throw out a massive point within the first 2 seconds.
Why?
There's a plan, there's process.
You're going to hook them in?
No, there's plan and there's process.
Well, fine.
Exactly. So, I put in my notes, can vaguely make a joke about Kate Middleton. Ha ha ha.
That's a bit meta, isn't it? Can't read that out.
Why?
Behind the velvet
behind curtain.
We plan jokes.
No. Well, I just thought I'd start making notes.
Well, I'm not being funny, Ione. By the time this comes out, something dreadful might have happened, so I don't think we should.
Okay, moving on. But I will say Kate Middleton has never been a people's princess.
No, she's always been... She's tried to be, and the media's definitely tried to position her as one, but she's not been welcomed by the public, if you class the public as me and you.
This whole scandal has kind of been the closest she's ever come to people princess status.
Yeah, people are worried about her.
She's brought us all together.
But the term people's princess wasn't coined until after Princess Diana died, it said in the research as well. Like, it was Tony Blair said it after she was gone. Rest in peace, Di.
Yeah, so there's like a few different things. Obviously, there's been like loads of Diana memes kind of floating about the internet forever. So people originally called Diana the people's princess. It's horrible that this all comes back to Tony Blair.
Well,
one thing he's good
for. Hate anything comes back to Tony Blair, but hand on heart, I really do not believe that he wrote that speech or coined that term.
That's very true. That is very, very true. So I thought this was an interesting topic to discover after I saw a article in W Magazine called The It Girl Is Dead, Long Live the People's Princess, which is by Maxine Wally. And, you know, it got my cogs turning. It does feel like we haven't heard the term It Girl in about 2 years now. So our original It Girl episode with Halima was in 2022, which is kind of nuts that it was that far long ago.
Yeah, I feel like there's been so many different iterations of girl now that maybe even girl doesn't have its own like, je ne sais quoi anymore. It has to be something, a different term altogether for it to, like, hit as that person being special.
Yeah, that was true. We're, like, at the end of the road of different types
of
girls.
Yeah, so, like, everything's been a type of girl now. So there's been, like, all these different iterations of girls. So we need a new word for someone who, like, stands out, I suppose. And that's kind of where People's Princess comes in.
Yeah, that's true. But I think before we explain the current cultural moment, let's just, like, take a minute to dissect where the It Girl has gone. So I was thinking back about when we did the initial episode and we had loads of DMs being like, you should do a podcast episode about why Bella Hadid is like the girl, the It Girl. Also, it was like peak Julia Fox time and, like, God bless her heart, Julia Fox is still trotting out the looks, but I feel like she's not really surprising us anymore.
It's kind of like Lady Gaga and it just become like a shtick rather than like, not that she's shticky, but like people are expectant of it now.
Yeah, Alexa Demi hasn't been seen in ages, although recently emerged this week at the Madonna concert in LA wearing like a archive Jean Paul Gaultier look. And then that's very It Girl thing to do, isn't it? Kind of like disappear for ages and then show up like judging a voguing competition with Madonna.
Yeah.
But I feel like even the furore around that was like not as vibes as it would have been like 2 years ago. I saw it on Twitter a bit, but like nothing on Instagram or TikTok. And most crucially, Bella Hadid, she hasn't been around in ages and she is the girl. I was looking back on her Instagram to check I saw it properly, and it seems like she has been in a big flare of her illness. And I feel like also there's been so much on Doing More about Bella Hadid, like giving it all up to be a horse. What's a horse rider called?
A jockey.
No, I don't think it's jockeys like in America.
Equestrian.
Yeah. She's like moved to a ranch somewhere or something and has like a horse riding.
They fucking love her. You've been to a ranch in America, don't they?
Mm.
They fucking love her.
So basically the It Girls aren't It Girling. Even though like obviously Bella is still an It Girl, but they're not like out in the public.
Yeah, I feel like aloofness isn't celebrated anymore.
Well, you can't celebrate someone if they're not around. Like, it just doesn't work with social media. Like, you can't be like, oh, slay, Alexa to me, give us nothing.
Well, exactly, that's what I mean.
And then I think that the original kind of like reemergence of this in a non-Princess Diana context was obviously with Ice Spice, which was that 1 or 2 years ago now?
1.5.
So she was, people were naming her the People's Princess, then she did the song Princess Diana and blah, 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 blah. Anything to add on Ice Spice?
I love her. I just pretty love her.
But I saw, like, even for example, like, very classic It Girl moments, so, like, appearing in a campaign or doing something like that, like, it doesn't really have the same, like, cultural panache as it did 1 or 2 years ago. Like, oh, another campaign has dropped and thingies in it, like, who cares? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I remember the Kardashian girls talking about this on their podcast being like, it used to be like you'd get like one incredible celebrity a year for like a fashion brand and then they'd be like it'd be like a mic, like a, what's it, like a mic drop, needle drop, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But Kim's like every campaign is someone mad. Like it was Lana Del Rey, then it's Usher. Like who knows who it'll be fucking next. Reformation's just got Monica Lewinsky. Like everyone's just like, it's overpowering. Like everyone's just used to it. Like they, it's expectant almost now to have an It Girl in your campaign.
It's just like part of the cultural background of what's going on, so there's not really the ability to like shock or surprise anymore.
Yeah, literally. And if it was, it would be something appalling like Gypsy Rose Blanchard or something.
And I feel like that wouldn't even surprise people for the right reasons anymore. And I think obviously we spoke about this on our Gypsy Rose episode, but when people are like, she's gonna have a heaven campaign, it just felt a bit like dark. And I feel like people really thought that there's kind of like they feel like they're having a gotcha moment when they're like, that person's going to be in X campaign. It's like it's quite cynical, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there's people trying to be like, oh, like if she plays her cards right, her social media strategy be this. It's because like being an influencer has become like the best job that someone can have.
I saw a tweet as well, which I'm going to quickly try and get up because I think it applies to our situation. Very important situation.
Situation are we in
of the People's Princess? Okay, this was by Joni at Lara Croft Barbie, and it was basically saying that the Oompa Loompa from the Willy Wonka experience was on Cameo, another person that was deemed a People's Princess for her, like, 3 minutes of fame. But anyway, then Joni, like, quote-tweeted it saying, I'm fascinated by how the internet turns people like this into private entertainers for our unlimited amusement. People make money from it, sure, but God, how grim. the 21st century equivalent of seeing someone funny on the street and throwing pennies at them to dance.
Yeah, literally. That's so true.
Yeah. Which brings me on to, what is a people's princess? So let's zoom back to the W Magazine article, which begins by saying, a term has been going around among the chronically online and celebrity-obsessed, the people's princess. A people's princess isn't quite an it girl. There's something more normal, everyday, and attainable about a people's princess. She is among her fans, not above them. She may even be in on the joke when it comes to the cult of celebrity. And then it says, among those crowned with the term include Quinta Brunson, Alex Consani, Greta Lee, and Renee Rapp. But the undisputed queen of the people's princesses, beside Princess Diana herself, who was originally given the nickname in the 90s, is Ayo Edebiri. Which, facts, like, you can't deny.
Yeah, she's undeniable. I think, like, this bit of the article really made me think, like, an it girl wasn't necessarily liked by everyone, but a people's princess is, like, across the board. Like, I don't know anyone who has a bad word to say against Ayo.
If someone said, like, I don't like Ayo, I'd be like, woof.
Yeah, I'd be appalled. But, like, say if someone's like, it's quite common to be like, oh, I didn't really like Alexa Chung. Like, fine, sure, fair enough.
But this is where also I feel like this article maybe gets it slightly wrong. So I think Alex Consani is more of an it girl than a people's princess.
I don't know, though, because it depends on how you take it based off, like, her videos and stuff, innit? Like, how have you accessed it? Have you accessed it through fashion? Because then that's got more of an it girl leaning. But if you've accessed it through, like, being a TikToker, that's kind of like where the people's princess thing comes in, and you've written this like later on being like, it's through having a social media following that people become people's princesses.
Oh, wow. You're just stealing my whole thesis here.
I just said you said this.
You're just taking the absolute boom out of that mic drop. So people, this article in particular uses the example of when Ayo presented SNL and people dug up like Harold's, I think it was a stand-up set, or it could have been a tweet, but I'm pretty sure it was a stand-up set. Oh, a podcast, where she was like, J-Lo is like, basically saying J-Lo is bad, but being like, oh, she doesn't sing her own songs, which...
I'm not saying anything.
And then
I might host SNL one day.
No, I don't think that's life is for me.
Much as me and you hosting SNL and they get Taylor Swift on as the... Absolutely fucked it.
And then J-Lo like made a statement or whatever, or like said in a magazine, like, oh, she came into my dressing room and like cried and apologized for what she did. And then everyone was quote tweeting it being like, Oscar for best actress in a leading role to Ayo. Like, we're just taking a joke out of it. And then Ayo being Irish is also like another huge part of her princess, people's princess appeal, which is an article I pulled up from the Irish Independent. Ayo Edebiri is an honorary people's princess in Ireland, and the internet is loving it. It basically goes through like how she's not actually Irish, but has become an Irish people's princess. Do you think we need to go into it, or do you think most people know?
No, we'll just say briefly, like, she made a joke to, like, Letterboxd that went viral on TikTok being like, oh, I played the donkey in Banshees at Inisherin, and it was really hard work, and I was in Ireland at the whole time, and then everyone was like, lol, she's honorary Irish, and then that just became that she's Irish, and then, like, the country of Ireland tweeted being like, congratulations on your BAFTAs tonight, Queen of Ireland, and then she's just, like, carried on playing into it, like, doing award speech acceptances and being like, and this is to my home country, Ireland. Like, it's just like an ongoing inside joke between her and the people.
And Evan Ross Katz is quoted in the W Magazine article saying that fans are drawn to stars with people princess energy because of a combination of regard for their work, and this is the part that makes it people's, reverence for their ability to have not shed the exoskeleton of humanness that some celebrities do on their ascent to fame. People's princess, this is not him, this is the author. People's princesses often show a reluctance to or detachment from fame, combined with a clear-eyed understanding of how being famous affects mental health and the ways Hollywood can be a detrimental and damaging industry. And although she is famous and presumably booked and busy, she faces the same financial realities as the rest of us. And then it's saying, like, you know, there's economic downturn in Hollywood, average rent costs nearly 60% of the average monthly earning of a US adult. It's been like a hard time. And also she's been doing fun projects. So like Bottoms, The Bear, Theatre Camp. She's been like, she's not really in like, not saying what she does isn't prestige, but she's not, like, vying for the prestige fan. Do you know what I mean?
Not in prestige, but, like, more... I hate to use the word mainstream, but, like, she's not in a Marvel, is she?
Well, she was meant to be.
Yeah, and she's not.
But Geraldine is now, who's our people's princess.
She is a people's princess as well. I'm saying, like, I can understand when I was being like, I'm drawing in money now, but I'm not, like, the big bucks. Like, I've not bought my mama house yet.
Another person who's been crowned as people's princess by this article is Sabrina Breer. Have I said that right?
I think so, or is Breer? I don't know.
Breer. Okay. Who is a 29-year-old comedian who has found massive fame on TikTok and Instagram for her character videos that feature bits like the girl who bullied you in high school and is trying to be an influencer, and that friend who is embarrassed to have rich parents, kind of like girl Jordan Firstman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she has been interviewed, and she said, I hope part of why I'm sometimes called that has to do with the fact that I'm speaking directly to the people in my content, she says, but hopefully also because they think I'm a literal princess, like in a big puffy dress. In her eyes, the term is experiencing a resurgence because people are less interested in celebrating exclusivity, as in actual princesses and monarchies, and want to cheer on the every woman.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like everyone's trying to get... It's kind of, we've touched on this before, like, everyone wants the people that they like online to be relatable, and it's kind of, like, eking into celebrity culture now as well. Whereas before, we kind of, people were actively against it. Like, when Jonathan Florence was, like, being funny, or, like, trying to be funny, and people were, like, so angry at her for, like, being this fake, authentic woman. Whereas now, like, that kind of humour, if she deployed that now as a new face, I think she would have, like, just do so, so well.
Yeah, I think we're, like, more open to earnestness. Not that, like, these people are, like, especially earnest in their output, like, it's done with a lot of humor, but as in, like, people not acting as if they're above it all, I suppose. Although I think it's interesting because some of the research further down definitely made me think that, like, some of these girlies are playing into it more than they think, more than what you think, like, because I think part of their appeal is that we think of them as, like, yeah, they're just, like, funny off the cuff, they just, like, can't believe they're on the red carpet like us. But then it made me think of Renee Rapp and the press tour for Mean Girls, and when she did that, like, bit when she was in the press junket, when she was like, I hate this guy that does the Hollywood tours, he was mean to my mom, my friend, fuck you, insert name of guy if you're watching this. And I just feel like, oh, that whole press tour was quite contrived, and that's just my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that's the thing with anything, isn't it? Like, some people are successful off a way of branding themselves, and then, like, so many different people will just take on that model.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
So I wrote in my notes that it seems like the convergence of internet celebrities and legitimate celebrities, e.g. Sabrina Breer, and then trad celebrities trying to get more viral moments, etc., has, like, led to this moment of people's princess, but, like, the ones that are successful are kind of the ones that started on the internet. So it reminded me of, in our cover interview of Geraldine, she calls Rachel Sennett the people's princess. After I talked to her about her being on our cover and, like, her journey from internet girl to celebrity, and how, like, people have more choice in who's a celebrity now. And I think that's definitely true, and maybe why it doesn't work for like traditional celebrities as much, because we see it as like part of a PR machine. But people who we've like maybe followed from 10,000 followers to now, it's like we know them.
Yeah, and it ties into like the new American dream, is that you can become famous off being online. So you want to support the people who have managed to do that successfully, don't you?
And then my final point is on parasocial relationships, which I think actually underpins this whole thing, because it's like much harder to have a parasocial relationship with someone who is just like an it girl, for example. Like Julia Fox is kind of an exception here, because she shares like a lot about her life, like obviously has that book out. But like, for example, Alexa Demi, and there's like nothing against her, like I really like her, it's like we don't see her very often, and we don't know much about her life, and we don't know like what she does on the weekend, or do you know that, like, do you know what I mean? And we don't know that she like dreamed of having dental care when she grew up. No, don't laugh.
Sorry. Yeah, we don't know these things about Alexa Demi, like her whole thing. But it's like, kind of like I said at the beginning, like aloofness isn't rewarded anymore. I think we've talked about it before as well, like you can't be a celebrity and have, because platforms are so wide reaching now as a celebrity, like you just can't get away with being mysterious, like people aren't rewarding it anymore.
Yeah, that's very true. And this kind of comes to my last piece of research, which is Too Close for Comfort, The Pitfalls of Parasocial Relationships by Otego Uwagba for The Observer. She kind of starts, it's like underpinned by a personal story. Otego is like a writer and a podcast host. She used to have a podcast, I don't think she does anymore, like predominantly an author as well. She also has a Substack. She starts by saying that she had a girl who like developed a parasocial relationship with her, and it got weird, and like she didn't really know how to deal with it, so she ended up blocking her. And she goes on by saying that like during the pandemic, these relationships kind of like have assumed a heightened importance, which is maybe why the like it girl label came out of the pandemic, because like the first girls that were like going out first lockdown and like pulling a look were the ones that we were like, wow, like we haven't been able to dress up and go out for ages, but now it's settled in a bit more. And we obviously, there's still like the people are still experiencing COVID basically to varying degrees. But now that we have more freedom in our everyday lives, but the political climate is like worse than ever. Like obviously with Palestine and everything, it's like we want people that actually make us feel good, not that we can like aspire to be or look at.
Yeah, especially because there's such like a class divide at the minute as well. Like it's not, it just doesn't seem like an achievable dream anymore to like, you just become famous.
Especially in terms of like the political aspect of it. Like I feel like loads of the stuff that's come out of the Oscars is like roundups of who was wearing the Artists for Ceasefire badges and like who did a good speech and like who spoke about Palestine in like their interviews or whatever. So I feel like it doesn't really just fly to like walk down the street and get a nice pat pick at the moment.
Yeah, and even the like tying it back to personality as well, like they've got Amelia on the carpet doing these really funny interviews. And remember, I can't remember what a red carpet it was, but someone did one and it was really awkward and everyone was showing it being like, oh my God, he's so awkward. Like,
oh, it was with the man from June. And then he was like, this is so, she asks like, oh, what was your favorite day on set? Which is a really normal question to ask someone. And he goes, I can't remember his name, sorry, but he's like the older person.
Oh, it's Stellan Skarsgård, wasn't it?
Yeah. And he goes, that's such a TikTok question. And she was like, well, you could have just said you don't want to answer it instead of like making me feel embarrassed.
She handled that so well as well, because I would have crumbled to my knees and started weeping. But she's just like, well, just don't answer then. Like,
Amelia is a people's princess, I would say.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think like she's got such like a good way of exposing these celebrities as well. But again, it comes down to edits. There was another one where it was...
Oh, the Jack Antonoff one.
Yeah, the Jack Antonoff one. And then they did another edit of it and it was totally fine. Like, I don't know why mate Amelia's in the middle of it all.
I also just think with her, it's like, she's such a good example of people's princess, because you can tell she's doing those interviews for us, not for that person.
Yeah.
Like, she's doing it to make good content and good work, not to, like, massage the ego of celebrities.
Yeah, exactly. Like, most, especially red carpet ones, they're like, oh my God, I love you. What are you wearing? Like, we've grown up in the era of somebody's not even having to give much away on red carpet. We're like, oh my God, I love you. What are you wearing? Who are you supporting?
Some not even answering their own questions, like in written interviews and stuff.
Exactly. So... and writing their own books and stuff. And we've grown up in that era where celebrities just didn't have to be so personal and relatable. And now, because it's demanded of them, we can see through who's doing it authentically or not a lot easier, like especially our generation. And so we reward the people who do it well or the people who we think are authentically someone that we want to be friends with or want to support, and that's our people's princess.
Another thing that I found, there was a few points, this article was written in either 2021 or 2022, but there was some new points that I thought really resonated with this people's princess conversation. Anna Taeger interviewed Evanna Lynch, who was Luna Lovegood in Harry Potter, who kind of spoke about, not that we speak about Harry Potter in these parts, she was saying how she thinks that people with larger platforms or audiences have a certain level of protection that, like, maybe smaller celebrities or internet celebrities, is what I thought it related to a lot, like, don't have, in that they, people who message them maybe expect their messages to be answered. And she says, when you have a smaller, more intimate audience, I think people do expect to reply and they feel like you're very close. This is the kind of paradox. And then Ortega writes, this is the paradox of low level fame, the kind bestowed on popular podcast hosts or minor media personalities, people who have a public profile, but are still normal enough for their followers to assume a degree of kinship. And I don't think it even applies to just like smaller people anymore. It is people that are quite big. That Aya with Letterboxd is such a good example of this, like how people are literally raking through her Letterboxd, like being like, she's thrown shade at like whatever she was. She didn't like Saltburn. And it's like, let the woman live her life. She's not actually your mate and she's not engaging in this discourse with you.
Yeah. And what was the other one? I guess back in the day as well, like if a celebrity was like rude to you, like when you asked for a picture with them, that would be the end of it. Like maybe you tell like four mates and then that's as far as our story would go, like as to like if someone's rude or not. But now it could be like a 10 story TikTok thread, or they could even just be in being secretly recorded on their phone and stuff. Like there's no privacy for celebrities anymore.
And I also thought, well, saying that though, I thought it was really interesting that she goes on to say that like there are a lot of people, YouTubers, vloggers, TikTok people, that kind of cultivate a faux intimacy with their followers, softening up them up so then they can sell them stuff more easily, which was kind of confirmed by an influencer called Camille Charrier. Don't know if I said that right, sorry. Pretty sure I did, though. Who said to Ortega, like, sharing your children, your boyfriend, the inside of your home, perhaps about your mental health or other illness struggles, family stuff, all of that performs better on social media. Anything that is very intimate and relatable and that other people can identify with. The thing that used to work, keeping it impersonal and just showing your outfits like we used to, doesn't really work anymore, which I think kind of surmises why we are at the cultural moment we are, like, and we've kind of said it basically. And I think it's also interesting to consider, because like obviously we would love to believe that all of these people are like genuine and authentic and like don't really consider what they're saying and like feel happy to share with us that they don't own a home or like make a quick quip about it on the red carpet. But like, I'm sure to an extent it is just part of the PR machine. Like a lot of these rising stars have a lot of money and PR behind them. And not always. Like I will say, when I interviewed Rachel and when I interviewed Geraldine and like Sophie Thatcher, for example, their PRs weren't even on the call. So like, it's not always the case, but sometimes it is.
Yeah, we need to remain cynical even of the people that we like. I think that's a good place to end. Thank you, People's Princess Ione Gamble.
As if.
Why? I think loads this relates to you though, like you've had loads of people have like be like horribly parasocial to you and stuff.
Well, obviously I'm not famous, one. Two, I think it was like I had like a transferred parasocial, people being parasocial to me after Eden died, which is like was not a fun thing to experience, to be honest. And then C, we're definitely just like not known enough to even have to consider it on the level that these people consider it.
Yeah, but I think that makes you more empathetic to her. I think like you've got a nuance to her.
Yeah. I mean, I also don't think it's a bad thing if these celebrities are like pretending to be authentic or doing it in a way that makes them comfortable. Like, especially when what I was thinking of the whole time we were doing this episode is when, you know, people kept showing that Jeremy, is his name Jeremy? The guy from the bed,
Jeremy Allen White.
The Calvin Klein campaign of him like topless to Aya on red carpets and being like, what do you think? She was like, please, like, leave me alone. This is the man I work with.
That's my co-worker, stop.
Yeah. Like, I do think that's like the flip side of this coin, isn't it? Like, if people are just acting like they're mates with these people, they don't really have respect for their private lives.
Yeah, that's the thing. On the like, people were kicking off about influencers being hosts on red carpets as well and being like, which kind of shows why Amelia is so good at it, because these people are being like, would you rather have a gay send her thought daughter to fucking America Ferreira? And she's like, I don't know what that means.
Help.
And like, she can't win in that situation, because no matter what you say, it's going to be turned into a meme.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, Gina.
Thank you, Ione Gambale.
And thank you to the listeners and to Olivia for editing this.
Thank you so much.
We'll see you next week. Bye.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.